This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Show me that list again.
Show me that list.
Don't pick that horror. Baby, here's a rom-com. Counting down 1, 2, 10. This list is ready to begin. Oh, as long as we've got some dick jokes, we've got the audience right in our hands. Paulie, you and me,
we gotta be
the luckiest dickheads. You know that we're assholes. As long as we keep on listing, we can take any topic comes our way. Asshole week to week,
suck my dick.
We got each other sharing the soundboard and balls.
Okay, I don't know. We haven't heard that one in a while, so that actually was, I was laughing my ass off at that. I'm sorry, everyone. Welcome to episode 283 of the Countdown Podcast. You like old ass TV, us too. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to Podcast with Countdown Movies, and today, television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And the topic today, as you might have gleaned from that weird opener, is about television, and it's about television from the last century. The 20th century, anything that was up until December 31st, 1999, in particular, the top 10 TV shows of the 20th century, and anyone who now wants to say, but the year 2000 is part of the 20th century, just fuck off.
So to clarify, the TV shows in question have to have
finished
before, you know, the first year of 2000. Got it.
The first day of 2000.
Got it, yeah.
In other words. So that's how we've decided to limit it. And it would have been easy because a lot of great shows started in the late 90s and went through.
Friends!
Yeah, I was thinking things
Friends!
Like Sopranos, but okay.
Friends! Yeah.
I think Sopranos started in 99. I could be wrong. Anyway, yeah. Buffy. Oh my God. Buffy would have been my number one with a bullet, but who needs to hear me talk about Buffy?
I actually saw Buffy. I want to see Paul's pissed that shit in.
Yep. So yeah. And I want to apologize to anyone new to the show. Welcome. If you are, it's your first episode of the Countdown. Thank you so much for joining us. Then you won't know these proclivities that Wayne and I have.
Also, that theme song is not normal. It's not normal. So if you're like, I ain't listening to that shit every week.
You got this far and you're like, fuck these guys.
That's right.
Fair enough on the second point, but just know that next episode won't have the same opener.
I can't say you'll be any happier.
Okay. All right, let's kick off the episode, though, in the way we normally do, in a segment that we call The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
The recount is our mail room. Paul, what did we get?
Well, look, all the mail this week relates to last week's Countdown, episode 282. The top 10 movie D-bags. Douchebags?
Right. Yeah.
Now, it was a comfortable victory to me. 13 votes to you, Wayne. 41 to me. So you've got past the 10. It's all good.
You know what? I looked at it, and when I looked at it, it was 9. And I went to myself, this is the week.
No.
This is the week.
No, when I looked, you were 11. So it was 11 to 30 or 11 to 31.
Thank you, 13 folks who clearly just accept
bad.
Me. Accept me.
Except it. Do you think maybe... the loss might have come down to your thoughts about the pay discrepancy.
Yes, I think... All right, look, everyone. Let's talk here, okay? I messed up here, not in necessarily the impetus of what I was saying, but I didn't couch it properly. What I should have said to you was...
All right, here we go.
Everyone, I don't agree with the gender pay gap. However, if you are wondering why the machinations of that are currently, the way they are, this is my take on it. And there you are. That's what I should have said. And then I would have gone and said all the same shit.
So your take on it is still...
Yeah, no, I still think that
people
the...
People pay others.
No.
Men.
No.
More.
No. Society has deigned...
Right.
...that as a man, you, being of a stronger build or whatever...
Right.
...must put yourself in harm's way.
Must.
Yes, must. Because when they, in favor of women and children. And I actually don't have a problem with that. I think I would do it anyway.
I agree society thinks that.
Yes. Now, because society thinks that,
yeah.
Society sets the rules subsequently.
No, but that's not why I pay happily. It's an institutionalized issue which has existed from time
immemorial. As a result of society. No? Would you not say that? Anyway, listen, I'm not going to do it again, all right? Because fuck you, Paul. You're going to make me lose twice in a row.
Exactly. Allow me to get you out of this with the only soundboard, which upon reflection, I should have used last time.
Time for the next level. Forced laughing.
It was... fuck you with the shitty sound that goes on forever. You know what? I don't care what I say. Fuck you and your shitty sounds.
Jordy Davidson. I'm going to mention him at the end of the show as well. Patron extraordinaire. So when Wayne wonders why people didn't vote for him, because I think you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur.
Do you hear me wondering? Do you hear me wondering,
M
G?
From Goldeneye.
Was it I know. Yeah, M.
No, Daniel.
It's M. Was it? M says it to James Bond.
Yes. Yes. Yep. The Mina Harker, though, said there should be a third option on this list, not voting for Paul's list or Wayne's list. It should be just voting for Wayne. So,
thanks, Mina.
Blake Jarvis, also a patron of the show, said, Shooter McGavin is a win for Paul. Thank you very much.
You were very popular with that choice.
And you were questioning me on the show, Mike, but I thought that was like...
Didn't even cross my mind.
The rationale for
so
maybe
I didn't. I didn't deserve to win anyway.
Daniel Henderson, good friend from the Movie Journey podcast, said, Paul, listening to Wayne is that when Homer is sliding back into the bush?
Actually, that didn't happen at all, brah. Paul was like, this is going to be hilarious when I don't edit it.
I think I said to you, I'm not editing this.
I know. That's why I said you know it.
I am not. And if I may pause a moment for something very serious, I want to give some love to Daniel. He lost his father in the last couple
of weeks.
Sorry
about that, bro.
Which is just terrible news. Daniel, all our love from the countdown here to you and your family and all the best at this difficult time. Even the cousin vote. So Warren G has decided, well, Mike T pulled this move a long time ago where Paul's clearly won. And I need to earn some face with my significant other. He said, Paul for the win. Shooter McGavin swayed the cousin vote this round.
And I think, Paul, that should be the end of your fucking cousin vote bullshit argument. All right? They don't fucking do it all the time.
Ah, dear. Jonathan Kidd said, thank you. It was his suggestion. Thank you for doing the vote last week. However, it just hit me that we all forgot about Betty White in Lake Placid.
It's a good point, but I liked her too much to call her a D-bag. She said, Officer Fuckmeat.
She did exactly say that. All right, that is all the feedback for this week's topic, or last week's topic, I should say, for this week's show. Thank you so much to everyone who got back to us, and let's get into it then on the other side of this music cue, the top 10 TV shows from the last season. You need a helping hand, oh, you know we'll understand, oh, when you're about to be out, everyone needs a friend, goody, 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 we should definitely, why? Top 10 television shows from the 20th century.
Just rolls off the tongue, don't it? Good luck me doing that goddamn card. All right.
What do you want to call it?
No, it's fine. I'll figure it out.
Is the topic for this week's show. As you are well aware, and I guess it's pretty simple. We've explained the parameters already.
But
hard, difficult, easy, sliding leg. Greece.
Hard as fuck, son.
Why?
First of all, I did quite a bit of research for this. Did you know that there are 18,000 odd TV shows on IMDb pre-2000?
No, I did not know it was 18,000.
That's what the little fucking counter said at the bottom, and I scrolled through pretty much all of those things. Very fast. Very fast.
Really?
I must have skipped big chunks of them, but I spent hours, okay, trying to remember.
What's your oldest TV show?
My oldest TV show is a 1982 TV show.
Yeah, I reckon.
Oh, wait. No. No, actually, perhaps. Yeah, perhaps.
What you talking about, Willis?
Sorry. yeah, I think so.
I was more proud of myself than Wayne acknowledged on that joke.
Sorry, no, I was still looking at it. Yeah, 82. What about you? Oh, was you giving it away?
Earlier. 70s.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Someone's a MASH fan. I don't know.
Anyway. Hells to the air. All right, who wants to go first? Should I go first today?
Yeah, you go first.
All right, here we go. My number 10 is prepare yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to win this vote. It's 11-all on the vote. It's not going to win, and I'm not going to win on this vote alone.
Panda.
This choice came from the viewing habits in my household when I was like 10 through 12.
That's why this list will be interesting. Mm-hmm. You will tell me your weird shit, and then you will tell me about it. Yeah. Go on.
My weird number 10 is It's a Knockout.
What the fuck? I had no idea. My expectations were low, but goddamn. All right.
Look, Wayne, that's the name of the game.
Oh, Jesus. All right. For anyone who doesn't understand this, I do believe there was a version of this definitely in the UK. Not sure about it.
You're 100% correct. It was in the British version first, but it came to Australia, and that's the one we watched. And I can't even remember who the hosts were. Maybe I can. Yes. It was the chick from Hey Hey It's Saturday, Fiona McDonald, and Billy J. Smith.
That's right.
Oh, damn it. They've rebooted it in 2011, 2012.
No. I maintain it is still a valid choice, and I'll tell you why.
Okay. I jettison anything else that was rebooted.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've got some of those on my list, and here's why.
Good. Well, I probably would have had some other choices had I realized that, but it's fine.
But anyway, folks, It's a Knockout is a fucking game show. Is that right?
Yeah, Paul? And what they did was they got little, generally country towns or smaller towns in Australia.
Shithouse little towns.
Yeah, like... They're not even that small these days, but back in 1985, 1987, Bendigo.
Yeah, Wagga Wagga. Fucking all these weird places. Like, what
I
the
can't remember
that?
Where they had in Australia, in West Australia, but I think maybe Albany from vague memory, or maybe Kalgoorlie.
Yes, there's a place in Australia called Woolloomooloo, everyone. There's like fucking 20 hours in it.
And they would get one town from each state, like not each state, but like they're varying, like Queensland, South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, West Australia.
Yeah.
Maybe occasionally Northern Territory and Tasmania, not sure. And they would compete them against each other with a bunch of these ridiculously over-the-top sort of game shows. A lot like sort of Wipeout.
Yeah, so you can get bashed off a fucking platform with a big padded fucking something in some machine and you
it was just good fun.
Fall into water and
Sunday
shit.
Sunday night in my house was all about watching that and cheering along, having some good fun.
Actually,
now that I
think about it, probably a lot of that happened in my house as well. I don't know that I developed the love for it that I did for Gladiator, but...
that was mentioned by Blake Jarvis, I believe, in the listener feedback. Yes. And apparently Vulcan American lives Gladiator. Down the road from him.
What?
Yeah.
He was in a James Bond movie.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in motherfucking The Last, the Tomorrow Never Dies, I think. Or no, whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Cool.
So yeah, It's a Knockout. Good fun. On Channel 10, like Channel 10 launched, and this was one of its pilot shows from vague memory.
I'm interested and surprised that this is on your list, but there you are.
I got to admit, a lot of the shows I love kind of cross that 2000 divide. So,
this is hard.
When
this
I decree hard. That last week, I didn't realize how badly I was shooting myself in the foot, but there we are. All right, over to you.
Okay, my number 10 is, it's a show that only had 6 episodes, and it was from back in 1982.
What?
This is my oldest one. It's a show called Police Squad.
Oh, seriously consider that.
Yeah, it's the shit, man. So check it out. This is sight gags, non sequiturs. It's a spoof on police dramas. It is, of course, where the Naked Gun movies came from. You got your Leslie Nielsen.
George Kennedy was in it.
Yeah. He was absolutely in it. No A.J. Simpson, though. No. But this is like, dude.
That was an uncomfortable laugh.
It was an uncomfortable laugh. It was, rather. This is, like I said, very short-lived, but this had the exact type of stupid humor that just made me laugh. For example, whenever they do a new episode, they would actually have a title card saying, "This week on the show," and the title card will say "Rendezvous at Big Gulch," but the announcer will say "Terror in the Neighborhood." He'll say the wrong fucking word, right? And it's like, what? And it's just a stupid joke which made me laugh every time. Every single part of these is wicked. It's just like, and that's where all the flying high jokes came from, kind of.
Well,
like,
it was the same creative team, right?
Exactly.
So it was like where they came from, but it was the same vein of humor.
It was literally the same jokes. There were things like, surely you know. Oh, yes, I do, and don't call me Shirley. That's in here, okay? Or people say, cigarette? Yes, it is. It's like, it's that kind of shit. So, but
and
still.
And Leslie Nielsen, the master of deadpan.
Kills it.
Just, and it does a very similar role in Flying High as well.
It's all that. It's just literally written that, but it absolutely works. And I can't believe there was only 6 of these shows, because I remember finding it on video when I was a kid and then renting it, because that's how old I am. And then, yeah, boom, it's wicked, but I loved it.
Very nice choice. Well played, sir. Slightly better than It's a Knockout as a TV show, but didn't have the same resonance.
Depends.
All right, my number 9 is a TV show, which I think you'll agree with, Wayne, is, to my mind, the greatest cartoon that came out of our childhood, The Real Ghostbusters.
Dude, I'm so glad you put it on there, because I was on my honorable mentions, but I knocked it out. It was at 9 for me, yo. Bring it.
Like, I don't know, this is the only cartoon show that was somewhat serialized that I remember. Like, He-Man, just wherever they started, they would finish the episode. Thundercats.
Did it have a serialization?
Well, yeah, they would reference back to the movie, and they would have...
Yes, true. Yes, you're right.
Janine sort of changed at a certain point where she changed... They softened her character. They actually got a new voice actor in, actress in. And,
yeah.
And then they had a whole episode about, oh, Janine, you've changed.
Did they?
Yeah. And then Cthulhu was referenced, which
That's
is a
right.
Lovecraft big this villain was... of a three-part, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Episode, but like... This is the one, and it was called The Real Ghostbusters because there was some dodgy fucking, it was on ABC here, where there was a big monkey and two dudes.
I've seen that one. It's called Ghostbusters, right? And it's a monkey and two dudes, and it's weird,
it's
right?
It's fucking terrible.
That's why they call this. I know, good point. But you know what? What was cool about this was the same characters from the movies.
Yeah, and they obviously weren't voiced by Bill Murray.
But Peter Venkman in this show was voiced by Lorenzo Music, who's the guy who voiced Garfield.
Originally. And then he died. And
did he?
Dave Coulier, the guy who played...
Joey from Full House?
No, not Joey. No, you're right.
Yeah,
Joey.
Yeah, Dave Coulier. Yeah, yeah.
Mixed up with...
Jesse.
Jesse. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. He did it.
Yeah, apparently in the latter parts.
Can I find these anymore? Can I just go watch them all?
I don't know,
all?
But I just... This is the cartoon TV show, which I would rush home to watch.
Me too, man. This was the tits.
Channel 9, from memory... Sort of 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Yep, when you go home from school, you see
bam,
this shit.
Stick that's this right. shit on.
And it was so cool. The fucking Pokemon, they looked cool on this thing, man. It was cool.
And I don't remember this Slimer sub-series that came about at all. I don't think that was ever shown in Australia.
It was, and it sucked.
Oh, was it?
It only had like cursorily every now and then you'd see the Ghostbusters.
Well,
but it was
my understanding from reading, and like this is only from reading Wikipedia, because I don't remember this at all. It was always a half-hour show. It was always that 21-minute
seems like it.
Cartoon show, right? But apparently they then started showing it as an hour show, and the second half an hour was the Slimer fucking 2-3 like bunny 6-7 minute adventures. Warner Brothers type adventures.
Okay, they're introducing.
I don't think we ever got that here.
I have seen it, but I don't know how I guess I saw it. Yeah. But
they certainly weren't shown as a package. So to my mind, it's a pure kind of this half an hour, sometimes kind of scary, which of course
I would agree
for my horror sensibilities.
Exactly. Paul saying that means something, man.
Yeah, was pretty cool as a when was it shown? 10? When we were 10, 11, 12, that sort of age range.
Mm.
Damn.
Very nice.
The show was awesome.
I love this show, man. Very cool. I wonder how many fans there are out there. It seemed to be just a local... I don't know. Anyway, big fan. My number 9 is the A-Team.
Yeah, shopped it out. Number 11 on my list.
Okay, I understand why. Now, everyone, the A-Team has Hannibal in it and B.A. Baracus and Howling Mad Murdoch and The Face.
The Face.
The Face. Also, Amy... The character name was Amy. She only did like one season or two seasons because George Peppard did not like her. And
is
they,
that right?
Yeah, they changed her out for another person. But it's about I'm not gonna
Hot
do the
damn.
I'm not gonna do the opening thing with the Soldiers of Fortune thing. Okay, I'm not gonna do that. But basically,
if you've got it there, could you give us your rendition?
Hang on. No, I won't.
Yeah, come on.
All right, hang on a sec.
Come on. Here we go.
I find it now. Okay, hold on.
Wait, maybe I can even give you the music lead up.
Ooh, why don't you just do the fucking sound? In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team. So that was the shit. I'm sure that was not worth it. I'm sure everyone has left.
What you don't realize is that we spent 48 minutes
organizing. We fucking we had to practice that and it still sucked. Sorry about that, everyone.
No, fair enough. What was it about the A-Team that really...
Well, first of all, I thought Hannibal was the shit. I didn't know he was a cunt behind the scenes.
Was he really? George Peppard?
Well, he fucking got that girl fired. I don't know. Mm. Anyway, but I think George Peppard is a bit of a cunt because apparently, here's what happened. He was like clearly the big actor, right? Because he had been like in movies for like 50 years and shit. Then B.A. Baracus was more popular with the fans. He didn't like that shit at all. So,
Hot. Oh, sorry.
Hot damn!
Anyway. But what I liked about the show was that, one, only one person ever died on the show. People were shooting people everywhere and shit was blowing up. You never really see anyone die.
It came from Fine the start, the Stormtrooper school.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Shooting. Also, they would also be trapped every time in one episode. And for some reason,
something.
they would happen to be trapped in a warehouse full of every bit of fucking thing. So they would build anything, big giant machine guns, armored cars.
Cars is the one I always remember.
And they would defeat the situation by building shit. Now, I'm sorry, that's cool. When it's cool to kick ass with an armored car, it's even cooler if you made the motherfucker. So I love the shit out of this man. The Stephen J. Cannell thing owns a big chunk of my fucking youth in terms of his TV shows.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. All right, then. My number 8, the show we referenced in today's title sequence.
What?
It is Growing Pains.
Really? Growing Pains, you say?
7 seasons from 85 to 92, consisting of 166 episodes. And it's basically, to my mind, I've got to be really honest here, it was always the Family Ties ripoff.
Yes, this is why I wondered to myself, Why this one and not?
But this one, it's almost
more modern.
Shameful to admit.
Yeah, all right.
In this modern age, given what we know that Kirk Cameron became.
What did he become? Like a Jesus freak or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making some...
He was always like that, though.
But was he? But in that TV show, he wasn't, right?
No, his character wasn't.
He's still a wholesome kid.
Yeah.
But as a 10 to 14, 15-year-old, and I probably dropped off before the end of the show, I'll be brutally honest.
No, we all did. You know Leo DiCaprio was in this show?
He was. That was his first acting role.
Thing. Yeah. I didn't see that fucking episode. Sorry.
But, like, the first 3-4 seasons, I watched the show every week it was on.
Absolutely.
Because it was just funny, and it was light, and it was nice. And Kirk Cameron was kind of like... Hitting it with the women.
Yes, it was like, it was aspirational. Was no doubt.
Yes, that's my point. Life goals.
Totally.
Or at least teenage goals.
Yes. Maybe it's more than his friend Skippy, I think that was me. He was like the... that was Family Ties. Sorry. Sorry.
Oh, you're talking about... Yeah, yeah.
His friend was Bonus, the Bone.
Boner.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of is kind of you.
But yeah. I get it.
Absolutely not.
It absolutely is.
No, it's not.
Oh, man, I'm Carol. Like, what was her name? It was Carol, wasn't it? Was it his sister's name?
His sister's name? I think so. Yeah, Carol. And so Alan Thicke, who I always get confused with the singer.
Alan Thicke. He's like hot property in Canada. Like he's like a...
Yeah,
didn't
he play in How I Met Your Mother? Didn't he play Robin's...
Absolutely.
Dad?
Yes, it's like that. It's like, well, maybe I just believe it because of that. But yes, absolutely. And by the way, did you like the dad or did you like Mike Seaver more? Or did you have another favorite character?
No, Kirk Cameron.
Was the guy, right? Because you wanted to... And he was funny.
Shameful as it is to admit today. But back then... That was some fun shit. And this show was fun.
You can tell.
And okay, here's a point where I need to acknowledge this because I don't have Different Strokes on my list. But
I don't either.
There's a lot of shows that tackle some really serious shit. These sitcom shows in the 70s and the 80s. Like, I don't think Growing Pains ever got down the child molestation kidnapping route that Different Strokes
did. Did it?
Yes. Absolutely it did.
Man, the 80s you could do just about anything you wanted. Shit.
I know. It's frightening. But they got to some hardcore... Kind of drugs and whatever.
No, it was drugs. Growing Pains was drugs. There was
and
even
Family
like,
Ties did that too.
Yes, Family Ties did that as well. And they would have done it first. But
and Grief, Family Ties did a really famous episode about grief, was it?
Did it
from
really?
Memory? Yeah, I remember Alex Keaton and whatever else. And Alex Keaton was the breakout of that show, was the star of that show. And obviously...
There is only Alex... You know what?
Cameron didn't go on. Oh, it's Family Ties.
It's my number 8, so let's just talk about them both. Sorry, let's talk about both, right?
Oh, wow, that's a weird comparison.
I know, that's why I was...
And look, if I had to say pound for pound what's the better show... It's Family Ties because that came first.
Yeah, it broke new ground. Yes. And that's
and it has Michael J. Keaton as a standout star, and this has Kirk Cameron. Those careers go? So
totally,
no question. That's a better show. But which one resonated more for me? Which one did I not want to miss?
Oh look, I agree. Okay, I mean,
a 10, 12 year old.
The thing is, we were a bit older when we saw Growing Pains, so that's why it was like for me, it resonated more. It's not even resonated more, but I remember it more fondly. Perhaps Family Ties had some hard shit. There was actually an episode of Family Ties where Michael J. Fox loses a friend or something, and wants
that's
him Academy Award.
That's the grief one I'm talking
about. Oh, that one.
Yes,
dude, that was the shit.
I remember black backgrounds and he's sort of talking to himself, and people are
That was like because he was being interviewed by a shrink. Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. And I remember that shit. And I remember watching that episode in a group full of people and all the chicks were crying. And I was crying too, but I fucking held it.
But like I said, they don't... I mean, okay, Scrubs tackles some heavy shit in its own way.
But that's later on.
Yeah, but my point is...
Yeah.
When you think about what they not got away with, but what they decided to tackle as part of a family show in this era of television, it's quite strange.
Now that you mention it and how you like we're sanitized now and stuff, it does seem that way. But that was good. It was a brave call. And also, I love fucking Michael J. Fox, man. I just love the shit out of him.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't, right? He's like the most popular guy in Hollywood, gotta be, right? So
it's such a tragedy that Parkinson's affected him.
But that character itself worked so well in the 80s. He was that corporate radar.
Well, this show was very Reaganistic, right?
It was.
The middle class kind of...
But the two lead... Not two lead, but the... what's his name?
Michael Gross.
Yeah, Michael Gross. They were hippies. I guess they are set upon by their capitalist son, so maybe it is that.
Yeah, I mean, he was very personified of the 80s.
Yeah,
and I can't remember what her name... Who was the wife?
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yes,
her name.
You. Yes. Yep. So I was thinking Joanna Kearns from Growing Pains. They have different hair, but they're very similar look, aren't they?
Absolutely, and I will tell you that Meredith Baxter Burney's hair was better, and she was in the 80s. Don't know what went on there, but there was no perms.
Wayne is just approved hair. From the 80s.
She was beautiful. I loved Meredith Baxter Burney. She was off the chain. I remember. And she did a movie as well. Went to see that movie just because she was in it.
And I've had to compare older sisters. Justine Bateman beats Tracy Gold every
time. But they were but Tracy Gold was supposed to be a nerd, so I don't know if that's fair. Okay. So, but yeah, I see what you mean. Fair enough. I never dug Mallory. I'll tell you something. I never dug Mallory. And I don't know what the fuck she was doing with that Nick guy.
Yo, Melody.
Shut the fuck up, you old fucking hairy motherfucker. All right. Anyway, so just to say.
All right. Good fun. Good fun choices. All right. That's our eighth. What about my number seven then? I want to prepare yourself here, Wayne, because I'm not sure this is your jam.
Uh-huh.
Because it's British.
That doesn't mean a thing. I like many British shows.
Well, you like more British shows than you like New Zealand shows, that's for sure.
I don't know what you're trying to do this episode and what kind of smear campaign you're running, Prizula, but my people are onto you.
When he says people, he means person.
I mean me.
Blackadder is my
Of course. Yeah, look, this is on HM for me, okay? But yes, Blackadder was the shit. I will tell you this, though. First season, shit.
Average as fuck.
Right,
Richard Except Curtis. The final episode.
Yeah, with the don't drink the wine. That was good. That was cool, all right? But then all the Ben Elton episodes, fucking off the chain.
Yeah, when Ben Elton gets involved, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And to my mind, 4 and 2 are just stellar.
Absolutely.
Television.
There's 3 arguments between good, with it. Yeah.
It's not as good. Not as good. So Blackadder follows, if you're not familiar and you haven't seen it, absolutely please go back and check this show out. It is worthy of it.
Even you can skip season 1 if you like.
Well, you can because you might not last through 6 half-hour episodes.
That's what I'm saying.
Start the charm of British television is we don't outlast our welcome.
Absolutely.
Right. So 6 episodes per season, 24 episodes overall. That's one season-ish of American television back in this day.
Absolutely.
So you absolutely can watch the first season to get a feel for it. And then when they add 2 effective writing voices, Richard Curtis and Ben Elton, it goes to that next level. Totally. 2 is amazing. It was must watch TV from my memory on a Thursday night, 8:30-ish.
We used to drop these quotes everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? This made Rowan Atkinson kind of sexy.
Rowan Atkinson, he owes everything to this show.
He does, because he was...
Fuck Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean is Mr. Bean, but then in Blackadder... Wait,
sorry. Not fuck Mr. Bean.
By comparison, fuck but Mr. Bean.
He's so minimal compared to, I think, Blackadder.
Absolutely. And you know what? In this show, Rowan Atkinson Blackadder gets ass all over the place, and it's understandable. They made him sexy, man. It's like, damn.
Powerful. He was powerful, particularly in season 2, especially season 3.
Actually, yeah, season 3 is a butler.
He's a butler, but he's a butler of someone very rich, and so he's the head of the household for everyone else.
For House MD, motherfucker.
Yeah. So. Season 4, he's beneath Milchant.
No, he's a captain or something. Yep. Captain Blackadder. So he's in the World War One, right? Yep. So, yeah.
So this is a TV show which follows the same lineage of the Blackadder character who's always played by Rowan Atkinson and his cadre of regulars around him, including Tony Robinson, Tim McKerney, and Miranda Richardson. Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie as
Stephen
well.
Stephen Fry is the shit. Melchett is the shit.
Is it Melchett?
Yeah, Melchett.
Yeah, okay. Oh, my God.
Remember that shit?
And if I can give a huge shout out here to our friend who's passed, Scott.
Mm.
And I tried to show him what I think is the funniest
scene
of this entire series.
Yeah.
Against my better judgment. Yeah. Let's try and redo it.
Oh, okay, fine. All right. So this is the leave scene.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Tell you what, I'll be Melchett, you be Blackadder.
All right, here we go.
Here he goes. Here's how it goes. And set it up first.
All right. So he's been captured by enemy lines.
Blackadder has, yes.
He's been tortured. He hasn't, but he's faced torture. And he comes back and he wants off the front lines because he knows it's a forlorn war and they're all going to die.
That's
so
right.
And that's indeed how the fucking series ends. They all get killed.
So he faces up to Melchett.
So he fells out to Melchett. He says, "Sir, one of my officers has been captured, tortured behind enemy lines, and he's requesting leave away from the front."
Absolutely, Blackadder. His commanding officer would be stark raving loony to refuse such a request.
Well, sir, that officer is actually myself, and can I therefore have some leave away from the front?
Absolutely not!
Excellent, sir. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry if that was tedious, anyone, but like my point is, at the end, or Paul's point is, at the end of that scene, the scene ends with him just going,
and our friend Scott just said, "That's it."
Much like many of you probably did.
Okay. Flash art, Rick Mayall from The Young Ones as a recurring character.
He's the shit.
Bunch of other recurring characters. Just absolutely hilarious. Flash art in the series 4. Treat your woman like you're playing. Take her up into heaven twice a day and back again.
Wham! Yeah, exactly. All that shit. No, I liked that guy, I gotta say. Anyway, nice one.
Again, can't imagine why. That's my number 8. Number 7. Blackadder.
My number seven is Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, of course it is. I forgot to send you a text with my three predictions.
Oh, really? This is number one. Okay, cool. Well, Batman the Animated Series, everyone, is about Batman. And yes, it was done by Paul Dini back in the day. And it ran till like 1995, about 3 years, okay? Basically, if you watch this show, it is the classiest, most gorgeous. It's standard animation with like the cartoon cells and stuff like that. But the styling of this place is kind of, it's almost like 1920s, but in the modern age. It's a very odd kind of, the cars look very swoopy and the designs are very Art Deco-ish. Not really modernistic, right? Whatever. But it is, apart from that, these stories are Star Trek good in terms of how well they're written.
Star Trek good?
That's right, buddy. Star Trek good. Original Star Trek good. That's how well they're written. If you ever see... Check out an episode of the Batman Animated Series called Heart of Ice. It's about Mr. Freeze. It is actually, literally, chilling, but beautiful. Really, really cool. Anyway, that's my number seven.
Oh, very nice. And again, would totally have thought that was going to be on your list. My number six is another British show. And I do apologize for having...
That's all right, British lover.
God damn it. It's the Goodies.
The what? The Goodies.
Not the Goonies, the Goodies.
The Goodies. The Goodies. Everyone, the Goodies. Oh my god, the Goodies? You're trying the Goodies?
The Goodies was fucking amazing.
It was cool. I didn't think they did this.
Like,
this
if I could, I would have Doctor Who, but we've had a reboot, very significant reboot.
I understand.
All from 2005.
God, I hated Doctor Who. Oh. I hated it, shit. Then my sister liked it anyway. But the Goodies, tell everyone what it's about.
Good taste, your sister. Good woman.
What is the Goodies about? The
Goodies, three friends, Tim Brooke-Taylor.
Graham Garden and
Bill Oddie.
Bill Oddie, yes.
And they... traverse some ridiculous, wild, wonderful adventures. Everything from a cat growing large to being like King Kong.
That's right. It was a really whirly
to they like get walled up inside there. Like, there was no continuity to the show.
Done.
It's a standalone.
Just people died all the time.
Yeah, they died all the time. Well, not all the time, but they died in that episode where they got starts walled again. Up inside their Goodies base and all eventually starved to death. Hilarious, Paul! Why wouldn't you love this as a young man? It was the precursor to Doctor Who. It was the hour of TV in my house where it was allowed to go on and we were allowed to watch it. No, on the ABC.
Yes.
Obviously coming from the British Broadcasting Commission, the BBC. Hilarious shit. And some of their songs I would make, like...
I think it was actually... It's weird because it's this sort of British TV show that we'd seen down here and we got this culture that way. Oh,
absolutely cult.
But I remember hearing that a lot of the episodes sort of had social commentary on it, but not really. I looked into it and it's not really the case. It was just a little bit more, I don't know, topical than you would expect from this, you know, a comedy show. So yeah,
They were all comedians and they all wrote for the show. Yeah. And I think it was a bigger hit here... than it was ever in...
UK?
In the UK.
Okay, cool. Nice one. My number six is Mad About You.
The number two on the list of things
I loved Mad About You. Paul Reiser.
I've got two more.
Okay, you probably nail them. Paul Reiser, Helen Hunt, and it's a sitcom with basically couple goals for my life, okay? These two, they lived in New York. They were a couple. They had no children. They had a dog. And they would just... It would be wonderful seeing them interact together. They were a cute couple, and I loved Helen Hunt. All right. Now, long story short, I've always just dug the shit out of this and been called a girl as a result.
Why? It's a perfectly acceptable thing for a guy to like.
I think it's a typically a...
Even back then.
I think it's a typically thing that chicks like, and which makes sense because I like what chicks like. What do you want? So there you are. Mad About You, my number six.
I don't think you've done a good enough job of selling that.
Guys,
what was it that got you involved?
I had a crush on Helen Hunt, but Paul Reiser was a director dude, and I liked him from My Two Dads, which I saw way before that. And I think that's why this. I don't know, the New Yorkiness of it. I really loved that back then. The apartment living thing. You know what I mean? So it's cool. It's not Sex and the City in terms of doing that, but it's still cool.
Better than that, or is it? What's your better show?
Look, I'll watch more. Oh, that's a good question. One's a dicks and titties and stuff, and then there's this one. I don't know. Maybe we jump around.
Jump around.
Word.
All right. My number five is also a big show in my house between my dad and myself and my brother. I think a little bit got into it, but he was probably a little young. I'm talking Tour of Duty.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That stuff was harsh, yo.
Only lasted three seasons, 58 episodes, running between 1987 and 1990. I literally remember, this is word for word, the conversation with my dad.
Yeah.
It was on a Monday night here in Australia.
Yeah.
Again on Channel 10.
Yeah.
I said to my dad, I never thought I would look forward to Monday nights.
Ooh.
And my dad laughed and said, oh, that's nice.
That's how much you liked it?
The music always depressed me with the...
It was Paint It Black from Rolling Stones.
That really depresses me, that shit. Yeah.
And it was a... Look, I've never fought in a war.
No.
My dad was in Army Reserves. Mm-hmm. He saw people die.
But you play Call of Duty. I'm sorry. No, you know what?
But it was something I share with my father. My father was...
Oh, well, that shit's big. That shit's big.
He was busy. Like, he was a working dad who worked long hours to establish a business and blah, 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 blah. And he's done very well for himself and all the rest of it. So, not having a slight. And that's what you did back in the late 80s as a father. You worked hard.
Totally.
And you left the rearing of your children to your mother. And
the TV. No.
And the TV. And we understand the detriment of that these days. So, not having a shot. And I'm sure...
Don't worry about that. I'm saying with the thing, though. Like, the actual show itself. So, this was something that...
It became a bit of a thing between my dad and I. And my brother probably was too young because he would have been 8-ish.
Yeah.
But maybe he recalls it fondly too. But we would sit around, we watch this show. And it was also probably one of those shows where my penchant, if you want to call it that... For let's kill occasionally a major character off unexpectedly.
I only saw one episode of this.
Came from.
Yeah, I remember thinking it was really hard.
Like, no one in this show went on to huge things. Like Miguel A. Nunez Jr., where he was in like Return of the Living Dead.
Hmm.
And I recognize some dudes from other bits and pieces.
I recognize like, no
the
one.
Sarge, Terrence Knox. I never saw him in anything else of note ever again.
I used to mix this up with China Beach.
I can see that.
Yeah, because it's honest. Kind of that thing. Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay.
But I never got into China Beach, but I love this one. And yeah, people die and you felt it was hurt and it was kind of cool and amazing. And hence, Tour of Duty for me.
All right. So my number five is, Paul will giggle at this. It's Murphy Brown.
Number three.
Is that what you said?
I would have predicted four. We got one more.
There's no way you haven't not got the other one as well then.
Murphy Brown was originally my 9. I shopped it out at the end. It's my number 12 on my list.
Do you like it then?
Yeah.
Actually, Paul studied to be a journalist, everyone.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, everyone, Candace Bergen, I had never seen her before. I was a kid. It was like 1988. I don't know. And
you don't know? You didn't do your research?
It says 1988 to May 1990. Anyway,
so I'm saying I reckon this is King Dick around latter high school for us.
Definitely.
And then into early uni.
Absolutely. And I found her beautiful, man. Like, she had to have been...
She's a handsome woman.
She's exactly that. She's a handsome woman with a mane of blonde hair. Very nice. And also, I liked Niles, and I liked Jim. I like all the characters on this show, even Frank, even Corky. Shit, I don't care. For some reason, I think I may have started to be attracted to powerful women as a result of this show. Not sure about that.
Yeah.
But
I'm right there with you. I like the whole power dressing thing.
No, it was cool, right? And then there's just the newsroom thing, and these journalists would fly all around the world. It was really cool to me when I was a kid and stuff. So I think this may be... I know, by the way, that this started again in like 2018.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of those ones. But like, seriously, no one was looking
so
at it.
So fucking separated, though.
It's ridiculous.
Whatever it was earlier on my list that had the same.
It shows you what TV is like now. You've got like...
It's a knockout. No one has compared the two.
Yeah.
Sorry, I smashed my...
All good. Paul's just headbutton equipment. So Murphy Brown, my number five.
Yeah, very nice choice. And I'm glad to get that they got some love. My number four is only around for 2 seasons on Australian TV in 92, 93. It shaped... Kind of my comedy. It shaped this show in a weird kind of roundabout way. It's The Late Show. The D-Gen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, explain this because no one in the States will have ever heard of this guy.
It's hard to explain and we're trying to not...
It was a sketch.
It's a sketch satire show.
Yeah, but also they were on stage a bit as well.
Yeah, well, they would come out a la and do a Letterman-type monologue to start comedy bit. And then they would have sketches that they'd filmed previously that would cut to. And then they would have bits on stage that they were doing in front of the audience.
Yes.
And very, very funny. Had everything
from... It was hilarious.
And
they were underground too. They weren't really production. They were the ABC.
It was on the ABC. Which
so
is,
it was not a studio. Yeah,
particularly in the early 90s, which is 92, 93, this was on. And these guys and girls all went on to big things. Santa Chilaro, Tom Gleisner, Jane Kennedy, Judith Lucy, Tony Martin, Mick Molloy, Rob Sitch. Jason Stevens, all of them are around. Maybe Jason Stevens a little less, but the rest of them. The Castle, fucking
I was just going to say, for folks around the world, if you want to see the flavor of this humor.
Watch The Castle.
Yeah, The Castle. But I think it's more Bad Eggs. There's a movie called Bad Eggs.
No
which
one's
was,
seen Bad Eggs.
Yeah,
man.
I know, but like, no one's, I suppose The Castle.
But they were all from Melbourne Uni or the University of Melbourne. Maybe it was called Melbourne Uni back then. They're all in that acting, and then the rest of them went on to do Fast Forward, another TV show which was very popular.
I was wondering if you were going to say that.
And so they did their own thing here, the project, and just so many different.
It's like a replete history of Aussie sort of TV comedy.
Martin Molloy did our favorite radio show growing up, which I even bought the CD of.
I remember. I bet you still have it.
I probably do somewhere.
I bet you do. It's called The Brown Album.
And I would suggest to you right now here that some of our bits are born from unconsciously from theirs.
I would say so.
You know,
there was influences for sure.
They did Shit Scared, which was like a
Oriental Shit Scared was good. That was my favorite one. That was really. There was this odd little segments they would do, which would for some reason
barge
just
be filmed.
Yeah, but they would just. Yeah, really, really good shit. You'd have to look it up.
We've
gone
too long, but look, check out The Late Show, The DJ, 1993. There are some amazing
sequences. Means D-Generation.
Yeah, D-Generation, sorry. Yeah. That's where they got their comedy shtick from. Over to you for your number four.
My number four is very important to both Paul and I, and I am on. I imagine it may be on his list, but maybe it's
fuck,
not.
Fuck, he's going to accept me this one. I fucking knew it.
What?
If this is what I think it is, I'm angry at you.
Oh, because you had a bit for it?
No, just go ahead.
Okay, cool. It's Cheers.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
How can it be false?
And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger
I'll tell
cunt.
You, first of all, people, I'll tell you why this is a thing for us.
Solo!
It is a thing that we became friends over, okay? Back in high school, it was like 1990, and we sort of became bros because we both like movies and stuff. We go to the movies every now and then and stuff like that. And then I said something like, Cheers is the shit. He started watching it. We both rolled on it.
Wayne absolutely got me into it. 100%.
Kicked it all through the group. Everyone was very popular. Now, it's about Sam Malone, Ted Danson, and his barflies, like, you know, Norm and Cliff and fucking, and then Rebecca Howe's in there, but Shelley Long was in there first. Fraser Crane, of course, this is where that came from. And obviously, Fraser would be on this list if it wasn't the, you know, ending
didn't
between.
Extend into the 21st century.
So, but something about it, and the reason it's four, Paul, to answer your question, is that we've oft seen episodes of Cheers, like, in the recent, you know, recently, and we acknowledge it is comedy for a simpler time. Do we not? Have we not said these words?
We said these words, but I don't think you understand that when you are comparing back to then, you have to take it as then.
I know.
Now. Because believe me, whatever your one, two, and three are, and one of them I understand what it will be, and I will accept that is more funny now.
Okay, let's keep going. Yeah.
The other two are going to have to be very good to convince me otherwise.
But
because I value the moment of watching. The feeling I had watching a show is more important to me even then than it is now.
The warmth of watching it is clear. Like, if that was the case, fine. I guess I'm going with longevity a bit on this one. And I think Cheers is not as that much.
Yeah, fair.
You know, that's the way. Yep. But yeah. Okay.
We have one that's coming up crossover, I guarantee you.
I'd be interested.
Which I have crossed them the other way, right? On that basis alone. So we'll get there.
Oh, okay. Right. Sure. Of course.
I'm annoyed I didn't text you now because I picked everything. My number three. Is one not on your list. Right. Absolutely fucking not on your list. It's Blake Seven.
I knew you were talking about this. What the hell is Blake Seven? Tell me about it again.
Yeah, Blake Seven.
I never saw it.
Absolutely does not hold up.
Okay.
The first to say it.
See, okay? that's why the lists are going this way and that way. Fair enough.
But at the time when I watched this film, it was, okay, so my paternal grandfather and I were close.
Yeah.
Though he would not know fucking television if it bit him on the ass. Like he would watch the news, nothing else interested in him. Okay. My maternal grandfather, we weren't close at all, but we bonded over sci-fi.
Oh.
And he said to me, Blake Seven is the best sci-fi show going around. This is whatever. So I started watching it because I wanted my maternal grandfather's approval and not be scared the fuck out of him whenever I went around my mum's.
Oh, like that. Yeah, okay, house. Fine.
And it's amazing. It's this show about a small cadre of, call them criminals, call them smugglers. Who start to fight against, in the future, obviously, the government of the whole universe.
So it's a space opera of sorts.
Yeah, and they find this tech ship that just drifting through space, which is well in advance of their technology. So they can fight back. One ship can fight back against all the rest.
Okay.
And they sort of carve out a base, and they're through four seasons, I think, from memory. I'm not even looking at the Wikipedia page. They're fighting back, and then eventually they get cornered into this big, huge fucking standoff.
This is through the entire season, like the series.
And even Blake, who is the one who escapes from prison and organizes them all.
In my head, he's blonde.
He's not. He's dark-haired dude. He turns and he's killed in like the start of season 3. And Avon, terrible name.
Yeah.
Great character played by Paul Darrow, who's kind of always been the annoying kind of, well, I'm more intelligent than you are, Blake. He takes over the crew and they become smarter in the way they're fighting their war.
That happens mid-show?
Yeah, mid-show.
Really? And so they replaced them.
Blake comes back in the last episode and they kill everyone.
Yeah, I knew you'd like it because
everyone.
Of that.
Everyone! They lose. This is fucking dark British sci-fi in the Thatcher era.
Tell me of
the rebels die.
Yeah, yeah. I see you digging that. Now, what's the production value level at? Is it Red Dwarfy? Is it less?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, it's Red Dwarfy.
Okay, got it. All right,
it's certainly better than early Doctor Who, but not as good as current Doctor Who.
Okay, fair to say. Okay, good.
All right, it's not Star Trek Next Gen. Let's be clear here. Okay. So,
no, I'm done with that.
I watched it again all through my early 20s and loved the shit out of it.
Did you?
I bought it on DVD in my mid-30s and started watching it again. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going on nostalgia.
Do you know what? The Young Ones is like that too, which is not on my list. Okay. So, okay. All right. My number three was Moonlighting.
Yeah, you've only got one more. If you get one more, I will win the Wayne. We're going to get one more.
Okay, fine. Everyone, man, I cared so much about Moonlighting, all right? It jumped the shark after a while.
It's the only way.
Exactly, Al Jarreau and shit. But when things were getting serious between David and Maddie, yes, Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd, then they're about to get together after the years. By the way, they run a detective agency together. That's the premise of the show. But you know, after 3 years, it looks like it's all on. Bruce Willis finally, you know, in the middle of the night, he runs in the rain to Maddie's house and tell her that he finally loves her. And then when he knocks on the door to profess his love, opens the door, Mark fucking Harmon is standing there in his, what I thought was his first role, but like he's basically this impossibly good looking astronaut. He's an astronaut.
Yeah, Mark Harmon's like girlfriend now is like half his age.
Is he? She? You know what? More power to you, Gib. I think I said go for it. What the hell, man? No, and this is great, by the way. And also, like, I kind of liked the whole thing. Did you know that Cybill Shepherd, she tried to crack onto Bruce Willis during the production? And he said no, right? And Cybill Shepherd used to fuck Elvis.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know what? She says that she's the person who convinced Elvis to eat pussy. That's what she said. She said it on the Oprah show.
I thought
show.
You were going to say she's the person who convinced Elvis to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
No. That was actually her gag. She was on Oprah telling all these women and the world that, you know, Elvis used to eat anything, but there was one thing he just wouldn't eat. And then all the chicks in the audience are like, whoa! And then she says, but I grabbed his head and I made him. Oh! She's talking about a clam bake, son! By the way, Paul doesn't get that joke, everyone. But Clam Bake is a Elvis Presley movie and song. It goes like this.
Oh.
Clam Bake. Gonna have a clam bake. That's how it goes.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's it. Look, it was the 70s.
Is that what it's referencing?
Yeah. Well, no. I was just making a Clam Bake joke because Cybill Shepherd was talking
about
it. What
is the actual song called?
Clam Bake. It is. Because I think that's a thing they do. Like, the Americans can tell me here. But I think it's like a luau thing where they bake clams on the beach. Wait, you don't believe clam bake is a thing, Paulie? He's laughing his ass off. He's laughing his ass off.
You might as well call it
a burger fry?
A porkasso.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, to be fair, they were actually baking clams, like in like a hungy
type. You didn't have pork soaps?
If we're just like, oh Jesus. Okay. Anyway, yes, Moonlighting, big fan.
My number two is your number one, Seinfeld.
Whoa. Yeah, it is my number one. And you nailed all of them.
I got Wayne 6 for 6. I said
that's
I'm
very
fucking
impressive.
Annoyed. I'll send you a text.
I believe
and
that
I
you
wasted
it.
I ran out of time. I know slash who you got are. Distracted by football. Seinfeld is Wayne's number one. It's my number two. Seinfeld's great.
I don't think anyone needs any explanation about Seinfeld, but I will tell you this about Seinfeld, okay? It legitimized a lot of things that it wouldn't go through. For instance, there's this one episode like where Jerry's dating a two-faced girl, right? Where in certain light, she's hot, and in a certain light, other light, she's gross, right? There are scenes where they do the thing where she's like hot, 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 and then she turns towards Kramer and someone else, and Newman, I think, and she's in the wrong light, and she's gross, right? Then there's a shot of Kramer and Newman going, whoo, like this, and I'm like, Jesus, they're just judging her in the episode for being unattractive in that moment. And it's totally fine because it's funny. And I'm like, yeah,
totally fine because Wayne.
No. Curse. No. Piss off! You're an asshole, right? I'm saying you couldn't do that now, but back then, they in the reference
right.
of the
you're
episode,
right.
you made it okay.
100% right.
Amazing writing and amazing execution. So yes, Seinfeld.
Close talker.
Close talker, Judge Reinhold.
Judge Reinhold.
Yep, that was classy.
Look, there's so many things that have permeated popular culture.
Dude, most like amazingly being that, remember we talked about this? Seinfeld's women. George dates the world's most beautiful women. Jamie Gertz is in there hooking up with Jerry Seinfeld.
That's ridiculous.
Like, I mean...
Jerry Seinfeld's a fine-looking fella, but he's not Jamie Gertz level.
No.
Fine.
And what's his name? You know, in Scrubs, Dr. Cox's wife?
Lawrence's wife.
Yeah, Bill Lawrence's wife in real life. She hooks up with George. That's the velvet tracksuit episode, the velvet pants shit episode.
I think Kristen Miller. Really?
Yeah, she's in that episode. All these people you don't remember, like, they are all in this show, man. So that's the shit. I know! Paul's like, what? I'm looking up the episode. Elaine dancing.
Okay, that's
okay. Right. Elaine dancing is the shit. I'm just saying it's in the bomb.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so it's your number two.
Yeah, that was my number one, actually.
Yeah, what's your number two?
My number two is The Larry Sanders Show.
Oh! Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Everyone, The Larry Sanders Show has got Gary Shandling in it.
I did not pick this one.
No, dude. It's like, it's set in the office and studio of a fictional late night talk show. Larry Sanders talk show. Everyone confuses Larry Sanders and Gary Shandling, by the way. Like, they,
I think I do too.
Yeah, most people do. And it's got like Jeffrey Tambor, Rip Torn, and it is the show that was one American like HBO or whatever cable where they first started saying fuck and cunt. They would actually drop shit like that in this show. They had stars playing.
Wow, they dropped the C word.
I know, this is back in motherfucking like what? 1980? No, 92. Right?
Well, I hope it wasn't in 2001.
No, but I'm saying that like this is early on for that shit to be happening. By the way, all stars appear in there, and they're this like flagrant version of themselves. Sharon Stone, Paul.
Honto
was in this show. Paul can say a few Japanese words, everyone.
I can say more than a few, motherfucker.
Paul can say many Japanese words and basically runs the town. Sharon Stone.
You think you're upset about COVID? Japan is beside itself.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so Sharon Stone is in this show, dates Larry Sanders.
Oh, bullshit.
And yeah, I know. But apparently they did in real life.
You know me. Uh-huh. I see a pair of thick, that weedy doesn't make breasts, any sense whatsoever. And all logic flies out the window.
Okay, you're right, because he doesn't have thick, weighty breasts.
No, but you know what? She does like have sex with him in this show, right? And the storyline is...
What episode?
Just Google Larry Sanders. Yeah. They're in bed in a hotel, and he can't
episode get... Episode 224.
That's right. He can't get an erection unless he turns his own TV show on while they're doing it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's hilarious. This is funny writing, people. And it just gets better from there. Rip Torn is hilarious.
Yeah, Rip Torn was a funny man.
That's right. So there you go. Larry Sanders Show. Give it a try.
All right, my number one.
Go on.
Maybe I need to give you my recap first of all. It's no surprise. Neither of our number ones have both been mentioned, so here we go.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Number 10, It's a Knockout. 9, The Real Ghostbusters. 8, Growing Pains. 7, Blackadder. 6, The Goodies. 5, Tour of Duty. Dun, 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 dun.
That's okay.
4, A Late Show with the D Generation. 3, Blake 7. 2, Seinfeld number 1. Cheers!
Yes, of course. Fair enough. My number 10 was Police Squad. 9, The A-Team. 8, Family Ties. 7, fucking Batman the Atman series. 6, Mad About You. 5, Murphy Brown. 4, Cheers. 3, Moonlighting. 2, The Larry Sanders Show. And 1 was Seinfeld. Yeah. So there we are.
We are. Any honorable mentions, Wayne, that we haven't already heard?
Tons, but real quick, Magnum P.I., Hogan's Heroes. The
Fall Guy!
Yes, I love The Fall Guy. I love 21 Jump Street. I like The Greatest American Hero. And I even like Parker Lewis Can't Lose. Remember that show?
I do.
That was kind of cool, right?
I do. Not
and
bad.
And there's this weird show called not Beans Baxter as well.
Choice at all. We've already mentioned my honorable mentions through your list. So that's it from us. What about you? We wrap up every episode with a segment that we call The Pop 10.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with patron to the show, good friend Chris Yeaney. Should have broken it down by decade because way too much, but MASH at number 3.
I wondered if anyone would talk about MASH.
Gets a lot of love.
MASH
is
the shit.
MacGyver at number 2.
I guess. Yeah, no, look, I watched it. Fuck it.
And number 1, Cheers.
My man,
Wayne apologizes for his loneliness on that one.
I do not.
From the top 5 podcasts, well, that's okay because they're not doing top 10s. Batman the Animated Series, there you go, Wayne.
Word!
Happy Days.
Yeah, I love
Happy Days. Well, they're not numbered, but Seinfeld was their third
choice. Gotta be.
Be the Solution, regular contributor to the show. Thank you very much. 3 cheers to The Tick, the animated series. Oh. And number one, MASH again.
Boom.
Billy from We Watch The Thing, B-Dizzle, said, so many great shows that I think of as 90s don't count. So X-Files, Buffy, Friends, because past 2000.
Agreed, agreed.
Number three, Just Shoot Me.
Love that show.
Thought that could be a...
Love that show. Definitely would have been a... Yeah, I didn't honor
Dark Horse contender, Wayne. Number two, Blackadder. Number one, Seinfeld.
Nice.
Podcast HQ. Big shout out to Podcast HQ because they always retweet our posts when we put Podcast HQ in the hashtag. Seinfeld, Frasier. I'm pretty sure Frasier went beyond 2000.
Yeah, unfortunately he couldn't make it, but yeah.
And All in the Family. Combat Jones, who is the audio engineer extraordinaire behind the Binge Movies podcast.
Nice.
Big shout out to CJ. Thank you, sir, for all your hard work. Number three, Golden Girls. Not the first, sorry, the last, I should say, mention of the Golden Girls.
I think there was in my own mentions that I didn't get to. So yes, absolutely. I love the Golden Girls.
I think the Golden Girls is a show I should watch now. I didn't get into it when I was 10, 12, 14.
I wonder if it would work now.
But I want to thank them for being a friend.
Jesus Christ, you worked hard for that one. All right, fuck off.
That's a bingo.
That's fucking Jesus Christ, people. It's just shutting down the floor.
Number two, cheers. And number one, Seinfeld. So in other words, Combat Jones agrees with you, good sir.
There's no excuse for you having done that, motherfucker.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, shit. Oh, Jesus.
Okay, Monique Dutrum. So this is Duty Dutrum's wife / better half, I almost had the time to say. And he... handed the floor to her. And she said, number three, Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. I remember we were like,
I'm sure Shaker Not Nerd disagrees with my choice. Number two, The Nanny.
Really? And there was a coolness about that at one period.
The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Oh, thank you, one. Monique, very, very much. Joe one. Morris from Two Beers on a Podcast. Cheers, Seinfeld. Married Children, first mentioned. That would have been my number seven on your list. If I had to pick your list.
No, man. No. Married Children got shit real quick. Like, I don't know what happened.
Damn.
No, actually, it was always a shit show that I didn't really respect.
What about the slow-mo Hightower episode?
Except for that one. That was the best thing ever. That was the one shiny thing. But as a result, I still laughed at it, but I didn't respect it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the Hightower thing, yeah.
Joy Davidson, top level patron of the show, said, Buck Rogers, the 25th Century at number three.
Wow.
Number two, Cowboy Bebop, the Japanese anime. And number one, Star Trek, The Next Generation.
TNG, what's up, man? I like it better than the original.
Is my childhood, and it really is what led to Star Trek being the powerhouse franchise it is today. Captain Picard will always be my favorite.
Of course. T. Earl Grey Hot.
Also Wayne's favorite, given that he's also
bald.
Ashley Gorski from the Rabbit Ears TV podcast. Who could be better?
Oh, no, we love me so, Ashley.
Credentialed then to comment on this topic. Number three, Batman Anyway Series Way.
What up, girl?
Number two, Golden Girls, Picture at Sicily, 1925. And number one, Seinfeld. So you got Ashley's
vote up
of this week.
Perfect woman.
Smiley Somali said, The Addams Family, a funny show about funny and accepting each other as we are. And seriously, has there ever been a greater love story than Gomez and Morticia?
That's okay, good. Not bad, yeah.
Number two, The Goodies. Three lads offered themselves for hire to do anything, anytime, anywhere. What follow all kinds of bizarre schemes, topical satire, slapstick comedy, and the odd song. Absolute gold. And number one, first mention of this, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Can't say I agree.
This show changed everything. What more can I say?
It was mostly not funny. It was mostly not funny, the other thing.
Normally I mention Sam from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast. Here's his co-host, Kahu, said Toxic Crusaders all the way.
What? What's that?
I don't fucking know.
Okay.
But Sam clearly does because he said, now that's a blast from the past, Kahu. I thought you were more of a Captain Planet kind of guy.
Okay. I'm wondering if the first one is like a New Zealand show that no one's
heard. Oh, it has to be. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool.
Mina Harker said the OG Star Trek. Yes. First mention of that. Also, first mention of Night Court.
Fuck, I love that show.
And
good call.
Only mention of You Can't Do That on Television, which gave us a young Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette, man. You know what?
When
this they is stupid.
Slime on
yes,
people.
Yes, yes, yes. I hated the show, and then I liked it for about one season, and then I liked
that
it.
Shit.
Canadian humor.
Yeah. Last one here from another patron extraordinaire, David Powell. Thank you, David, for your hard work and contribution to the show. Hard work in the Facebook community. Number three, Nowhere Man. Bruce Greenwood is a photojournalist who unknowingly takes a photo of something he shouldn't have and gets erased overnight. Wife, friends, colleagues all deny knowing he even exists. That sounds pretty cool.
Bruce Greenwood is a handsome man.
Yep, okay. That's all I heard in that one. Number two, Dark Skies, The Superior X-Files.
Which one?
Dark Skies.
Oh, okay.
Tight, exciting storytelling, chock full of real historical figures from the 60s with a brilliant J.T. Walsh. Number one, The Prisoner, the greatest sci-fi show ever. Patrick McGoohan gave carte blanche to create his own sequel to the hit spy show Secret Agent and Danger Man. They could never have guessed what he'd come up with. So influential, even the Simpsons
I don't know that one. So, okay, interesting.
Reference it. All right. Thank you so much to everyone who got back to us with their choices for this week's show. We really, truly do appreciate it. Sorry we couldn't get through everybody. Wayne, how do listeners get back to us with their choices week in and week out?
Google the Countdown Podcast and get all our socials, as well as maybe sending us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. Check us out on podbean.com where you can like and follow the show. ccradio.com.au is our Australian home. And check out the Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes for all the chat and the engagement with the listeners of the show. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 284? Of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast.
Top 10 Hateable Heroes. Uh-huh. Ooh, right? A little spicy, that one. Like, this it's one? Like, yeah. Well, it's heroes, the hero character. You're supposed to love them, but we fucking don't. That's how it is.
Yep. Why don't we? And this one comes from Lou Fry, listener of the Facebook listening community. Thank you, sir, for your suggestion. And yeah, this one could be contentious. Could upset a few people.
I'm hoping for Argy Bargy, just quietly.
There could be a lot of... This one.
Holy hell, son, your mother's useful as a cock-flavored lollipop.
Fucking asshole. Okay. Well, now the Paul's ruined the show again. How dare you.
That is it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We really, truly do appreciate it. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
We just had the cunting soundboard.
Fuck you.
Fuck away.
Fuck away. At being a cunt.
I almost saved it.
We'll catch you next time.
All right, my number two, sorry, my number two, my number 10 is a movie, sorry, a show, fuck me. Can I start again? All right.
No, can you just, yeah, sure.
All right, fine, sorry, cunt.